Hey, Pastor, have you ever gotten to your office on a Monday and revised your resume? Have you ever browsed the job ads at ministryjobs.com and found yourself envisioning your life at that large church in Florida? Do you find yourself sometimes dreaming about just stacking lumber at Home Depot? Leadership doesn't have to be that way, and I want to walk you down the pathway to healthy, vibrant leadership, taking your Monday into an eager, energized, and abundant lifestyle. My name is Kevin, veteran pastor with nearly 20 years of full-time ministry and leadership experience. I've walked through the tensions of trauma and drama that can come as a minefield of stress and anxiety to every pastor. Together, we're going to learn the simplicity of leadership that breathes life to you rather than consume everything from you, in simple strategic steps leading you to clarity, creativity, and a little bit of cash flow. Growth is possible, and it's inside your reach. Now, grab your notebook, and let's dig into it. Hey, Pastor, welcome to my show today. So grateful that you are with us. I want to introduce you to my new friend. Carla is an executive coach, a best-selling author, leadership trainer, and an international speaker. She has over 26 years of global corporate experience creating and leading teams from a Fortune 500 company. Carla's strategies and workshops are action-oriented, delivering impact from the moment she engages her audience to co-creating a long-lasting and remarkable impact. Carla, thank you so much for being a part of my show, Pastors Thriving Today. Welcome to this. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Kevin. It's an honor for me to be here today with you and your audience.
Thank you.
I am Costa Rican. I moved into U.S. in 2017, chasing my dream job with my son, Andres. But we arrived in May, and by November, that dream was shattered because the group was closed globally. So I was jobless. Wow. That was really, a stressful time. That's how I will call it. I went home that day and told my son we may need to return to Costa Rica. And when I saw his eyes and he told me, "Mom, if you have to go back, go, but I will stay."
Oh, wow.
Then the mama bear came in and I told him, "I will do my best to keep us here. I will fight for that." And I started looking for jobs. It was the job market here in U.S. is brutal. I had some blind spots coming to U.S. because, of course, I come from a very small country. And an opportunity knocked on my door to write a book. And I asked him, "What do you think if your mom become an author?" And he was like, "Go for it. Of course, whatever could be an opportunity to stay in U.S., he was pushing me on that direction. Wow. The book became a bestseller, and at the same time, I got a job. So I think it was a huge blessing, a job on diversity and inclusion. That was the last part of my career in this global corporation, because I retired in September of this year from the corporation.
Oh, well done. Congratulations. So you're in business on your own now.
Exactly. I am in this adventure, which is amazing. When I was working in the corporation, because of that book has a program, I started selling my program for companies on Fridays from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., which was the only time I was very cautious and conscious of avoiding burnout. So that's why the time. And then doing the coaching private practice at nights or on Saturdays, but really 1 hour during the week and 1 hour during the weekends. But this started growing, and I think it's time to unleash my potential.
Wow. Which is your book, right? Unleash Your Career Potential. Seven Steps to Living Your Dream. Why don't you talk a little bit about your book and cue us into this? I mean, so you've got a giveaway that corresponds with this and really kind of helps people get into that idea of unleashing career potential. Let's talk about it. What does that mean?
Thank you. Yes, and thank you for asking, because I learned through the process that unleash potential is like very generic term and it's hard to understand. So let me explain. When I was moving into US, I had mentees all over Latin America, from Brazil to Mexico. And then when I was impacted by losing my job, I really needed to focus on finding a job.
Right.
So I was thinking, how can I put together the tools that help me overcome challenges in my career for them to continue, because I couldn't have the time to connect with them. And then this opportunity came. So I basically did a self-reflection of what are the tools. The first tool is about looking yourself at the mirror, understanding how are you investing your time. And it is an exercise, which is the book is very action-oriented, because you will map during a week your different hours for the different areas of your life. Are you investing enough time with your family, with your friends, and doing exercise? Well, even the basic things as is how many hours are you sleeping? Because all that impacts our life, how we show up, and our dreams, which is our vision in life. So that will be the first step. Then we move to define or clarify our purpose. And I will share in a bit about what are those questions that I use to define the purpose. Once you have your purpose clear for life, you can define your vision. Where do you see yourself in the long run? How do you want to be remembered? What is your footprint and legacy? And you need to define your mission, how you will get there. And then you create the 1-5-10, which is a 1-decade plan for you think, okay, if this is my long-term vision, in 10 years, I should be here. Then in 5 years, to get to the 10, I need to be here. And in the next year, I will take 3 steps.
Oh,
in my career, I created that in 2012 because I was, when I started, my boss asked me, where are you heading? And I was like, I'm just arriving. What do you mean where I'm heading? I've just arrived. But then restructuring started, many movements in the company made me realize that if I don't take ownership of my career, I may land in a place that I didn't want. So that's
so
why
good.
In 2012, I talked with my son, because when we craft plans, we need to include our loved ones to accelerate the plans. And and we talk about the possibility of living out of US in 10 years. So that will be 2022. So going backwards in 5 years, I needed at least I was thinking a regional position covering Latin America. So the next year I took these 3 actions, talked to my boss about that. He was the director for Latin America. So I wanted to position myself as his successor.
Nice.
Then he really helped me connect with people in the region. And also I offered myself to support him documenting the development plans for my peers of the region.
Oh, wow.
And that, when we do that, Kevin, we are providing direction to our brain. So it's not like things happen just by magic. It's that when you have a clear plan, you will start seeing the opportunities and catching those opportunities. That's how everything accelerated. So instead of 2022, I came to US in 2017.
Right, 5 years
everything
earlier.
That's 5 years early.
Yeah.
And not everything are roses. So as I told you at the beginning, I lost that job. So be careful with your dreams. But I know that God has bigger plans for us.
Oh, 100%. Let's dissect that just a little bit, because I think what you're unveiling a couple things that I think are super important. Like, first of all, one of the podcasts that I constantly listen to, the guy is constantly saying, I have enough. I've always had enough, and I will always have enough. And in that setting, you know, even though the dream for you took a left-hand turn when you got to America, but you lost your job within 6 months of getting here, look where you are now. I mean, look at the capacity that you have. You know, you got a global reach of a network of people that was created for you. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't even have to go out and grab that. That was kind of orchestrated on your behalf. And even though I'm sure there were some very, very uncertain moments in that season that we can't even begin to imagine, look where you are. Look where you've arrived at. This is incredible.
Yes. I think that the biggest conqueror, I don't know if that is a word, but the biggest win in your life will be to get out of your own way.
Oh, so
and
good.
Conquer yourself. Mm-hmm. Because emotions can take you through to a very dark spaces. And
yes.
Actually, you need to be very conscious on not allowing your brain to go in that place, but to take a turn and look for help.
Yes.
And that's why the last chapter of my book, or the last step, is about resilience. Yep. And the people, the University of Chicago has a study which tells that the people that is stronger in resilience, they don't isolate themselves.
Right.
They have a positive outlook of things. And also, they really have this drive of action. So they
wow.
don't wait for things to happen. Actually, I have a TEDx talk that is called Dancing Under the Rain. It's in Spanish. It's Bailando Bajo la Lluvia. It was in Costa Rica. But it's about that, how in your most difficult moments, you take ownership and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That was an observation for me when I was in Costa Rica in 2014. The company closed a big part of the operation, and I was the spokesperson for the operation, talking to the media. So it was also really hard.
Yeah.
But through that process, what I learned is that people that took action faster, they landed jobs faster. And in the other hand, those that were complaining, or they were like stuck in that
sure.
in that drama, in that
yeah.
which life is hard in itself. But if you take action, you can find people that will help you, and you can land or create your own opportunities.
You're 100% right. And I think, you know, not only is it the way that you described, it's also a fearful mentality. It's like that, what are we going to do now? You know, and going back to the statement that you made, you were, I think you said in 2012, you were kind of just on survival mode. 95% of the world is just on survival mode. They're not asking questions based on, you know, what you decide or what you declared as your potential. And I absolutely love that you brought this up, because in my book that I am still working on and editing right now, I talked about the idea or the tension between contentment and potential. Because, you know, from a biblical narrative, the Bible says that we should be content in every situation, but we get that wrong. Contentment doesn't mean settling for less or settling for just what you have. It means, you know, be grateful for what's in your hand. But when we transition or ask the question, you know, in my situation, is my potential maximized? And most of the time, the answer is no, it's not, which necessitates, it demands that you ask a larger question. You know, if you've got all this potential that God has given to you, but you're squashing it because there is no opportunity for you to exercise that potential, then by all means, you should not be content there. You should start asking something else and put yourself into a growing situation, which you kind of found yourself in.
You remind me a question about what are you making with your talents?
Wow.
What have you done with the talents we're given to
that
you?
That is good.
I
That's
really
good.
Like that. I'm looking forward to read your book.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. So exciting.
I'm hoping, like, my goal, I want to have it done by the end of the year. So I got 1 month left. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, another thing that that you brought up, talking about, you alluded to this, you didn't quite say it, but you talked about mindsets and taking your thoughts captive. And that also is a biblical narrative too. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul says that, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I think there's some elements of our tendencies today where we kind of get out of line, or we allow our emotional state to take over our thinking. And that's when we freak out. And there's just no room for freak out in your story, in your situation, and what you're up against. There's just no room for that. Talk about that for a minute. How did you get control of your emotions when you felt like everything was kind of eroding away from you?
I love that. Since I was really young, I was so interested in how the brain works.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading for years about the brain. And there is an author, Antonio Damasio from California, that on his, I love his research. And he explained it very in a simple way. And I added that to the book, because you also go in the book, you assess your values, your strengths, your passions, and even you assess what are your hobbies, what are you doing in the day to day. But the Matthew states that the emotions, you feel them in your body, and before they become feelings, because the feelings are impacted by the lessons we learned when we were growing up, by our surroundings. So you have the opportunity to stop when you feel that. Emotions are amazing, because are those red lights, green lights, yellow lights that really are providing information. What we do with that information is what makes the magic, because is that opportunity to pause. And for example, if you are in a situation that the other person is really stressed out and is raising the voice, it's on you how you want to engage. Right. So you can lower your voice and the person will probably lower their voice and ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling? So it's so nice. I could also respond, and probably when I see someone, right? No, probably no, I can't tell you that when I see someone raising their voice, my body will react.
Yeah, you get attention.
But I get that tension. And I could just connect at the same level, or help both of us to get into a different level of
absolutely,
communication.
100%.
And that is what we really want. We want to connect with people, and we want to really nourish relationships. So my invitation will be to feel the emotion in your body. And if at the moment you don't need to respond, you can say, can you give me a moment? Or can we talk tomorrow about this? Take your space.
Yes,
we are
get some space.
We are always want to solve things that now and do everything and finish everything now. And there are things that deserve time. So being clear that emotions become feelings because of what we learned in the past, we are the ones that can change that.
I love that. You know, I wrote this line in my book. I probably my favorite line, but here it is. Most of our thinking is based on learning that was taught through fear.
Exactly.
And, I mean, think about the implications of that. Like, I talk about it like this. There's two paths of teaching or learning that happen in our culture today. You have intentional teaching and unintentional teaching. And intentional teaching comprises about 10% of everything we learn. And the rest of it, the unintentional moments, is 90%. And where does that take place? It takes place in those like informal conversations, like around the dinner table, or you know, with people as they are just have taken their guard down and they are able to portray their true selves. And in that moment, we are teaching the fear-based mentalities that we've achieved along the way. This is where scarcity mindsets come from. This is where like panic about certain things happen. It's in those unintentional moments where we're teaching someone else, mostly our kids, about how they should react or relate to life based on our own experience. And so it sounds to me like you've got some of this experience along with you too.
Yes, it's so amazing. Everything that is in our subconscious.
Yes.
And if we let that rule our lives, we don't grow, because this is from experiences of someone else, which is not us, that was a different experience. So you gotta create your own life. Actually, in the book, I don't know if you can see, but in the back, it says you are the CEO of your life and career.
Yeah, your career. 100%.
Yes, we are the chief executive officers, and we really need to take ownership.
We got to take ownership. That is 100% truth. So let me ask you this. Let's kind of twist this and point it right at a pastor for just a minute. You know, in your experience, leadership is leadership, regardless of the entity, regardless of the outcome. What's the message that you would have for a pastor today leading a congregation in our culture? What would you tell him?
Connect, connect, connect.
Oh, so good.
There is a quote from John Maxwell about people won't care about what you think until they know that you care.
Yeah.
So really, I think when we are on leadership positions, we are assuming a huge responsibility because people look at us. And is, for example, if you, even with your kids, if you tell them, do this this way, but you do it other way, of course, kids will do what they see. And that's human experience, I will say. So when you connect with people from the heart, from our humanity, we are currently, there is this velocity and the change is so fast and we are in a rush always.
Yes.
That probably many leaders don't take the time to be present. So that is the best gift we can give to each other, to really take time to connect and avoid any distractions. I've seen leaders that are talking to their people and they are with the computer and they are saying, yes, I'm listening to you. And they are right. Yes.
But they're not listening.
No, you are not. Our brain is not designed to multitask. We think that we can do it, but we are not doing it in a good way.
I like
my wife. We are not serving our people.
No, you're exactly right. My wife uses this phrase quite often, and she says, "Listen to me with your eyes." I love that mentality. And you know, to kind of just springboard on that, I'm not sure that I've made this comment on this podcast before, but I've been on this path towards meeting with all the pastors in our area, and so I invite them to go out for coffee, or I take coffee to their office or whatever, and they always ask me, like, is there something that I could do differently or better in my context, in my leadership? And I always tell them, I said, you know what? I'm a part of like three different chamber of commerce in our area. And I said, I go to like three different networking events every week. I'm somewhere else. And I said, you know what? I've never met a pastor. Not one time have I ever met a pastor at these networking events. And that really goes to what you just said. You've got to connect. You've got to be present. And the excuse that I constantly hear from pastors is, I have so much to do. You know what? You don't have so much to do if you don't have people to connect with. So, connect with people. That's a good word. Thank you for sharing that.
That's a great call. That's a great call, Kevin.
For sure. I love it. Well, let me ask you this. You know, I have interviewed about 50 different pastors over the last couple months. And as I asked them, you know, what are the struggles that you are facing in your context today? About 90% of them are saying that they are facing an apathetic and an indifferent congregation. Their people just don't care. They don't want to move. They just kind of come in and they're just like, hey, what do you got today? And then on their way out, they're like, hey, that was a good talk, as they go out the door and head to wherever their favorite restaurant is that's close by. What would you, and to be honest with you, a lot of these pastors that I'm talking to are like, they're saying, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. If my people don't want to get up and move, you know, John Maxwell says, it's not about, he says this, he says, the quote was that we're supposed to leave our footprints in the sand, not our butt prints in the sand. I love that. But what would you say to a pastor who's trying so hard to engage an apathetic or an indifferent congregation?
Well, I will invite them to create spaces like a session, not big session, but maybe different throughout the month or throughout the week, where they invite 5 to 10 people, have a small gatherings, and it can be even online, where they listen, as your wife says, with their eyes and the whole body. That active listening is so important.
Oh, it is.
Because to understand how their congregations are experiencing what they need, and because this is very different times. So maybe even inviting you to having a talk with them can be something appealing. And driving and understanding is about listening, understanding, and connecting. And you will find people and ask for help, because I'm sure that they always help. They are there for everyone, but they need to also learn to ask for help.
Right.
And there may be some community leaders that may want to help and bring more people. Set up a challenge of bring at least 2 people with you to this session so they can listen to different perspectives. But because there may be people that are not that engaged, and just because the friend invited them, they will provide fresh perspective to that.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. That's good. I like it. I mean, like the challenge component to it. I think there's a freshness to the idea of challenge in our culture today. So that's kind of interesting. I've got a whole theory on this, a whole logic that coincides or corresponds with the idea of apathetic and indifferent congregation. And another time in another place, I'm actually designing my own course right now to confront this. But I'm always curious to find out what other people's perspectives are on this idea of apathetic or indifference. You know, there is endless opportunity for us to get involved with in our culture, in our world, no matter where you're at. You know, I've already talked about my nonprofit initiative that my wife and I are working on with these orphans in Africa. But here's the thing, you don't have to go to Africa to find opportunity. Like it is in your own context, in your own city, in your own place, on your own street, probably. There's opportunity to get involved with something. And let me ask you this, Carla, what question should I be asking you today? What's the story that you would want to convey to my audience, to my people?
Basically, what I would like to tell people is that life is beautiful in its own complexity, but you gotta be accountable and you gotta take ownership.
Yes.
And that's why I'm sharing the gift, which is a roadmap of the tools of the book, where you can set up, print that PDF and take a look to that map and ensure you are taking action.
Actually,
when you were talking, I was thinking about that struggle of pastors, and I will be more than happy to serve, and I don't know how you will pick, but to serve the congregation of one of your audience pastors to take their congregation through the program of the book.
Oh, wow.
That may be something that can be interesting for them. And when we think about the 10 years, we can invite the congregation. Where do you see this community in their years? What do you think for that community? So you engage them. So that's something that just came to me. So I'm more than happy to support that.
I love it. And how? So if someone wanted to take you up on that, how would they connect with you?
They will connect with me through my website, carlablanco.com.
Okay.
Or on Instagram, it will be Carla Blanco Official.
I think I have those links. You forwarded them to me already. So we'll make sure that get into the show notes so that you can just kind of go to those notes right there and take a look at that. And honestly, your book, man, I love it. I need to read this book, Unleash Your Career Potential, 7 Steps to Living Your Dream. That's on Amazon, and I will make sure that you get there's a link to that in the notes as well. You need to take a look at that, because here's the thing, Pastor, you need to be able to continue to invest and to, investigate the complexities of your own potential. Like, you have not maxed it out yet. There is more. There's more for you to offer. There's more for you to grow into. And you need to be asking these questions. And to be honest, here's the thing. Like, I've come across this in so many spaces, including in my own story. But what happens when a pastor is not pastoring anymore? Like, I've bumped up to that so many times. When you get into a season when you didn't see coming, and now you're forced to kind of reinvent your life outside of the realm of what you experienced. Carla, you've already talked about that, having, you know, you came to the United States with the promise of career, and then 6 months later, you don't have a career anymore. You had to go through this. We all think that we're exempt from this kind of season right up until we realize we're not exempt anymore. And so some new tensions that you had to face. So, man, thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you. Well, and that tension is what I learned is that those moments take you to the next level.
Yes.
And you will get there. Is there a decision to do it faster with a positive perspective, or get stuck and taking longer?
Yep.
But you will get there to that next level, because that's life.
as we kind of draw this to a close today, the one kind of begging question that I have about that, because you have lived through it and you've been through it, you know, looking back, hindsight, what would be the one thing that you would have said, I wish I would have done this different to maybe fast track that or to make it a little bit easier for yourself? What would you have done differently?
Well, it is what I've been talking about. Connect, connect, connect. Mm. When I came to US, I was like this regular high performer where you focus on results, results, results. So I didn't connect. I didn't go to those networks that you were mentioning. So when the situation happened, I was like, oh my God, who will help me now?
Yeah.
And fortunately, a friend of mine from Costa Rica that she moved earlier, actually, she was my mentee in Costa Rica. She moved here and she connected me with the Hispanic community.
Okay.
And then the leaders from the Hispanic community connected to other opportunities. But it is that will be something that I don't want to ever miss again in my life, which is connection right away. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good. We underestimate the value of people and the people that they know. And honestly, that's why I've been on this quest to introduce other people onto my podcast, because you need to know who's in the world. I need to know who's out there. I mean, Carla, you and I, this is the first time we met. And,
yes.
You know, based on a different program that you and I were a part of and just trying to find out. Here's my thing. I think everyone has value to add somewhere. I don't care what your audience is. I don't care who you're about or where you come from. There's value that we can learn from people's perspective, from their stories, and from, you know, the situations that they've come through. And so I really am thankful that you would take some time today and share with us some of the places that you've been, some of the things that you've seen, and some of what you've learned along the way.
Thank you, Kevin, for opening doors for me and for inviting me to share with your audience. It's a pleasure, and I really admire all the work that you are doing and your footprints. Thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. So if you're interested in learning more about Carla, her program, her book, you can take a look at those notes in the show. Thank you so much for Carla for being here today. Hey, listen, if this has meant something to you, if it's spoken to you, if it's inspired you, can you just take a moment right now and drop by Apple Podcast, put some stars next to my name and give me some movement, because that will help me broadcast this to a wider audience. I want to thank you for being a part of my show today. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.